Hello again and welcome to another episode of Real Talk with RJ. If this is your first time listening, please don't forget to like and subscribe and follow so you know exactly when we release brand new episodes. Also, don't forget to share. If you like what you hear, share with everyone you know. This episode, I find actually kind of important because I've had a number of really interesting conversations with people all over society, or like all over town, and also a lot of things I've seen on YouTube as well that have gotten my attention. I've just noticed a number of things that are happening. And, you know, we talk about societal advancement with people using all these unique pronouns to describe themselves. They used to start off with just basic pronouns such as identify as a male, identify as female. Then people wanted to change that and then they wanted to start saying I identify as Zimzer and Zizim. And I've even seen someone identify themselves as Seagull. And people are identifying as furries. And it's just, you have a right to identify however you want, but I don't think it's fair to demand that somebody else identify you. Cause it's like, I think there's a double standard when a person says you have to identify me as this created pronoun that I made up. Why? All right. So like, if I were to call you a lizard, you would be very offended. You'd be like, no, don't call me a lizard. I identify as Zimzer or whatever. Those are my pronouns. You have to identify me that. That's very disrespectful for you to call me a lizard. So why is it okay that you can disrespect me by forcing me or pressuring me to be an idiot to call you something that you're not just to please you, but I can't call you something that I see you as, you know, to please myself. So like it's a double standard. No, I shouldn't show disrespect to a person because of how they want to identify themselves. But the fact is that you have the right to identify yourself as whoever you are, but the fact is you are who you are. And our basic understanding of biology has just like taken a massive U-turn off a cliff. And it's sad. Like it used to be so simple. Kids knew in school, like very young ages, the difference between male and female were basic biological differences. They would often say, you know, penis and vagina was the difference. But when you look at the actual biological differences, no matter how you identify, no matter what plastic surgeries or sex changes or transgender processes you've gone through, the fact is if you die and the police find your body or the coroner finds your body, the medical examiner is going to look at your figure, look at your genetic outcome and say, oh, this was a, you know, 18-year-old or 20-year-old or so male or female. The difference is in male and female is not penis and vagina. That's just one superficial organ that a person happens to have that would separate them. But there are many people who are born without genitalia. They just don't have that part of their body created. And then you have people who have both organs. Some are often not developed fully while others are. But the difference that I've learned is the difference between male and female is XY chromosomes and XX chromosomes. That is something you can't change. Also, the way the jaw works is lined up, the way the fingers line up, the way the feet line up, the way the head, the veins in the head. There are certain genetical organs and tissues and muscles that separate male from female. We see so often on the news, but people aren't talking about it. About these men who identify as, or there are people talking about, but not as common as they should be. When you don't see women becoming transgender to be men and then join male sports and try to play, they'll get kicked out. Like not because they're not good enough, but because they don't have the muscular structure to compete effectively against other men. Like if you put the best WNBA player against the worst NBA team, that woman will get destroyed. It's just a scientific fact. They've shown it again and again. Even Serena Williams, the arguably the greatest female tennis player ever, was asked if you would be willing to play tennis against the 700th ranked tennis player that was male. She's like, no, I'll probably get destroyed. Because the serving is faster, it's different, it's stronger, it's a whole different game because we're made different, and that's okay. People are criminalizing people because of being natural born males or natural born females. And it's really sad. We're going back in reverse to basic biology, what we know. When a person was identifying as a gay man or a lesbian woman or bisexual male or female, I was like, okay, you know, I might have my personal opinions on that, but you are who you are, and I'm not Jesus, so I have no right to judge you. You have the right to be who you want and love who you want. You know, it's ultimately at the end of the day, it's you who has to answer for the choices you make. So I'm not going to judge you or try to kick you when you're down or make you feel like less of a human because of the fact that you want to live that way. But when your views affect my freedoms, that's not fair. You know, when, like, I can't create my own pronouns by saying you have to refer to me as His Royal Highness Attack Helicopter. Every time you refer to me, my pronouns are His Royal Highness Attack Helicopter. I'm broke, but I identify as a millionaire. Therefore, you have to give me, you know, unlimited credit. Or, you know, I have a bachelor's degree in business administration, but I identify as a pilot, so I'm going to fly this plane. No, you can't do any of that. No, like when they look at your credit, they look at actual factual credit history. They don't look at your allegations of, oh, I pay all my bills on time, I don't owe any debt. No, they go, all right, well, let me see your credit. And they're going to look and see you actually do owe debt. So it is what it is. No matter how many sex changes you have, the fact is that if you have XY chromosomes, you cannot have a baby. If you have XX chromosomes, you have the only chance of having a baby. Doesn't mean you're guaranteed, because sometimes those organs just, they will not create a child. Sometimes it's just, it is what it is. And sometimes they cannot create a child to full term. You know, these things happen. And there are also those who have XY chromosomes who are unable to sire children. It's just sometimes the semen is not potent enough to actually create children. There's lots of different things, but the fact is the only chance you have of creating semen is if you have XY chromosomes. And the only chance you have of giving birth to a child is if you have XX chromosomes. So ultimately, only women can have kids, only men can sire them. That's basic biology. Another thing that's going on right now in society that we're hearing is the term people of color. I am so tired of that term. I hate that term. Because back in the Jim Crow days, they used to say no coloreds, color people. They call my people colored people. Oh, those colors over there. Colored people was what we referred to. It was a very degrading term. But now this quote unquote woke society has created one more word to put in between that. Instead of colored people, they put people of color. It's the exact same two words with the word of added in between, and they reverse it. So they went back to calling us colored people, just colored people 2.0. So we have regressed to using the term colored people, but instead saying people of color. Now they're talking about, you know, the black community, brown community, the Asian community, anyone who has colored skin at all, they're calling them that. But it's still a derogatory term. If you really look at it, we were called coloreds. Like, rather than just sit there and call us Americans, you know, like minority Americans or non-white Americans, okay, why can't we just be Americans? Why do we have to separate all these different skin colors and culture groups into like isolated societies? I have seen some of the most beautiful interactions between blacks and Latinos. Some of the most beautiful. And they don't see color, they just see family, they see interaction. And I've also seen some real serious violence between the two as well. So you got two very extremes on the spectrum. But the fact is that there are so many people out there who don't see color, that just see the character of the people. And those interactions are always so special and so beautiful. But if you're looking at these woke individuals, these woke organizations and these woke movements, they're isolating. They are segregating people. And they're doing it right in front of our face. Oh, well, we want to give more grants and more scholarships to transgender individuals who are transitioning from male to female. But they're not going to do those same exact scholarships for males. they're like, there's lots of situations where transgender male to female are getting lots of help. They're getting lots of medical attention and lots of benefits, but they're shaming regular born males and shaming regular born females. I've talked about this on a previous episode before where the transgender female to male, those are not going to play sports against other males. They would not stand a chance in that environment. There's a video on YouTube of these 15-year-old boys playing against a professional women's soccer team, and they destroyed them. This was like Australia's number one women's team. They were ranked number one or two in the world, and they got destroyed by a team of 15-year-old boys. It's not saying women aren't good enough. It's saying we're made differently. That's the thing that people often try to point to that direction. Oh, you're saying women aren't good enough. Like, no one's saying that. No one's trying. No one with a brain is trying to say that. We're trying to say we're made differently, and that's okay. That's why since the Olympics have started and they've allowed women to compete, you know, the fact is they've had women play against women and men play against men. It's a very similar thing to when you watch fighting, when you watch MMA, when you watch boxing, when you watch wrestling. They have weight classes. They want you to compete against people who have the same makeup as you, or same weight, or same, like your even match. You will never see a heavyweight fight a featherweight. The featherweight would die. He might be fast, but if he gets hit one time by that heavyweight punch, he's done. He's dead. So they put featherweights with featherweights, and they put heavyweights with heavyweights because it's an even match. So when you got these males who are only identifying as females so that they can matter, because they can't compete against their own sex, so they change sex so they can matter, destroying the women. That's not fair. How many of our daughters are going to grow up and feel like, you know, I'm not going to play sports anymore because it's pointless? You have all these transgender females in there that, you know, that are taking all the records and taking all the scholarships, and schools want to, you know, show appear to empathize with them, so they give them the scholarships and give them the starting positions. And a natural born female who has actual talent is not going to get any of that. So what is it going to do? It's going to make our women digress. It's going to make our women regress into seeing that they're not as valuable as they really are. Our women are sacred. And this is why society is attacking them so much. And it's not fair. It's just, it's crazy because people call themselves woke, but they couldn't be more asleep. And society is really destroying the identities of a sacred woman and a sacred man. What's up, Jason?
What's going on, Ross? How you doing today?
Living the dream, brother. Good to have you again.
So you're talking on some things in general ways that they could be inflammatory to some ears, and to others you're like, yeah, I don't like what's going on. I really don't like. There's things I don't accept, and yep. I don't tell everybody, because it's no one else's business. I just, unless I need, my time pays your time, then I don't need to tell you. You don't need to know where I stand on everything. But when I do make a stand and I do make a voice, it's, don't take personal offense. It's just my consideration, you know, and that's it. And when it comes to, like you were kind of talking about trans, you know, in athletics, honestly and ethically, they don't belong competing against the gender that they assign themselves to, because
absolutely.
It is, but can they compete within their own trans category? Sure.
Yes.
Why not?
I agree 100%.
Should they be allowed in the Olympics? No. Sorry. No.
To add to your point, I think if they were to compete in the Olympics, I think that they should compete under the trans category.
Right.
Like, I think if they're going to compete, they should compete with their own trans community rather
right.
than competing against women. Women need to compete with women. Men need to compete with men. Trans can compete with trans males, compete with trans males. Trans women compete with trans women. That's only fair. That's the only fair, logical, biological competition.
Right, because then that means that women that are transitioning to men, they can compete against the men who are transitioning against women. There you go. There's your fair category.
Yeah.
And if you don't like who wins, then hey, you got your category. But for those of us who are hetero, or even those who if they're same gender, I don't care if you're gay or lesbian, if you compete in that gender that you're a part of, male or female, then that's okay. No one has to know your sexual orientation.
Exactly.
No one cares. No one cares. I don't. But you know who makes try to people care? Their category, the LGBT, they want you to care because they have faced, you know, discrimination. They have faced prejudice, but the way that they do it now is under a shroud of verbiage, a shroud of identities and words that can be problematic. And this also applies to heterosexuals.
Yep.
Because they don't need to make them enemies either. I think that's complete bullshit. You do that, you haze somebody who's gay or lesbian, you know what? You deserve bad shit coming to you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but my number one rule is, unless you have a personal problem with somebody, leave the identities out.
Yeah.
I don't need to know your religion. I don't need to know your politics. I don't need to know your pronouns. I need to be able to know, can I talk to you or not?
Yeah.
Are you going to be sensitive to everything I say? See, society adapts to all that. Society is a constant living ecosystem. And we like to put society as a label, as a catch-all, one drip system, and it's not. You got so many different parts of society and culture that intertwine. There's this big melting mesh pot that people have a hard time, you know, making decisions, do I or I don't apply?
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And they want to highlight, so many of them want to highlight points that don't matter. Like I've said before, when I was in the Marine Corps, I did not care if I had a lot of my buddies that came out to me and told me they were gay. And like, I told them, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me whether you're gay or not. As long as your rifle's pointed at the enemy like mine is, we're good. Like, I don't care.
Right. Do you got my six? Do I have your back? You know, that's it. We don't need to know that you're going to cry in a hole. I need to know if you're going to move forward with me as I move. That's
exactly.
It.
And it's always good to hear from you, man.
Job, yeah.
It's always good to hear from you. Every time I see you come on, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's my boy, man. I got to give him on him for sure.
Absolutely. Thanks for letting me up. Appreciate it.
No problem, brother. Good to see you again.
All right.
So it's an important thing because in a recent episode I had, I actually talked about this concept as well, where there are a lot of people focusing on things that don't matter. Like when you go get your haircut from your barber, do you ask your barber, what presidential candidate did you vote for? Or what church do you go to? Or do you worship Satan or do you worship God? Or none of that matters. The only thing that matters is, can you cut your hair well? And like I've said this before, like when I watch American Idol or America's Got Talent or The Voice or any of those shows, they always want to highlight the person's sexuality. And I'm like, dude, I don't care if you're gay. I don't care. Can you sing? Can you perform the magic trick? Can you do the acrobatic technique? Like, the only thing that matters is, can you do the job that you're trying to do? Like, when you go for an interview, your resume puts down what your abilities are, and then they interview you and ask you if you're capable of doing what it is they're trying to hire you to do. They're not asking you about, hey, unless you're, you know, trying to work at a specific church or specific religious or political organization, then they might inquire about that because it's relevant to what it is they're trying to hire you to do. But in any other case, like if you're trying to work at McDonald's or something like that, the interviewer is not going to say, before we hire you to flip these burgers, I'm going to need to know, do you go to church every Sunday? Like, no, it's, can you flip a burger? That's it. That's all that matters to me. They're putting so much attention on identity politics that it's tearing us apart. People of color, that word just irks me because, like I said, it's a similar statement of colored people used in the Jim Crow era. It's just got the word of added into it, and the words are switched around. It's segregating. The woke community is segregating our people. And just when I thought that was the most ridiculous thing I've heard, once again, people are going up and saying, oh, the earth is flat. I'm like, are you serious? I learned about that in kindergarten. How the heck did we go back from the earth is round all the way to the earth is flat? If you look at the ocean, if you stand on a beach and look at the ocean, you will see it drops off. You can see proof of a round Earth. What's going on, Bobby? Welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, what's up, Ross? How are you?
I'm living the dream. And yourself?
Yeah, man. Same. I'm alive and healthy enough to get through a day and do things, so I'm blessed.
Outstanding.
Hey, listen, man. I love the topic, and I just wanted to jump in and kind of add a note to one or two things that you said within the past couple of minutes. What's crazy about the whole fragmentation thing that these people are trying to do, fragmenting society into all these different identities and labels, is that if you really just think about what effect does that have, and then assume that these people that are directing the masses are not stupid, what does the effect have? Well, it creates so many labels and so many boxes for people to put themselves in that it separates us completely, and we have nothing unifying us. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these labels are completely superficial. So these are not labels that are about something beyond physical attributes and sexual preferences. They're all completely superficial. So it's not like they're saying, hey, you know, we need diversity of thought and we need diversity of opinion, because that kind of diversity gets to the true character of a human being. And let's talk about that. We need conservative voices. We need libertarian voices. They want people who are just different skin colors, different sexual preferences, different heights, different weights, and categorizing people in such a way that there's nothing of substance to the differences between us. They have no interest in anybody thinking differently, right? So if you have people of all different skin colors, but one person thinks differently, you're cast out. Forget it, you're done. You know, you're toast. You have to think exactly like the rest of us, but look different. It's very bizarre, and it just shows how stupid that movement is, generally speaking. I never hear anything about diversity of thought. In fact, there's a group called Gays Against Groomers. Have you heard of them on social media?
Oh, yeah, I have.
They're incredible. And here's the thing. They've been shut down by payment processors. They've been cast out and, you know, attacked by the gay community, which is so bizarre, because I thought we were supporting people who have all these different, you know, sexual preferences and other preferences. But it just so happens that they also have a different opinion.
Exactly.
Than the herd. And because of that, they're cast out. So it doesn't take a genius to look at it. And if you're being honest with yourself, not everyone's being honest.
Yeah.
But to look at it and say, hold on a second, these people are frauds. They don't care about diversity. They don't care about all of us coming together and figuring it out. They care about everyone thinking the same, but being connected by superficial qualities and elements. And that, to me, is all the evidence I need to say, yeah, I'm not going to be part of that.
Yeah. And that's a great point that you bring up as well about the Gays Against Groomers organization. Like, I love, I have a gay friend. Like, I love this guy, an incredible guy. He and I have really deep conversations, and like, he's one of the people with whom I can just be completely myself without walking on eggshells. Like, you know, these days you have to walk on eggshells when you talk to people. Otherwise, you're racist or you're homophobic, or they give you some type of label. Well, my buddy was also talking about that, and I was talking about how there are people bringing drag queens to elementary schools, and these drag queens are actually doing strip shows, like seductive strip dances, right there on stage in an elementary school or in classrooms or like in clubs meant for adults, but they're bringing tons of kids there to go, you know, watch these guys dance and then give them money and put money in their underwear. That's literally happening. It's all over YouTube.
Right, and this is something that if we knew this was going on, let's say, 10 years ago, with the mindset that many people had, even just 10 years ago, which is not a long time, those people would say, arrest every single one of those people that's child abuse.
Exactly.
And then today, instead, you have people going, well, maybe it's always been like that, and now with social media, you just see more of it. It's like, what does that matter? What you just said, what does that even mean? Now we know. Let's do something about it. I don't care if it's been going on for 50 years. It's not okay.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
It's bizarre. It's definitely not opening children's eyes up to, you know, different types of lifestyles and things. It's just sexualizing them, and that is not okay.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Bobby. I appreciate your input, man. Those are some great points. Being a veteran, one of the things that I've learned is the technique of divide and conquer. If you divide your enemy into multiple positions, you actually can, you can do a lot more damage because you're able to like conquer them a lot faster. You can destroy your enemy a lot faster. You can conquer your enemy, conquer a location, capture a location. You can acquire more leverage over people because you're able to fight smaller armies in smaller battles at one time. So as Bobby was saying, the government is smart. They know that the only times that laws have changed is when people were unified. Laws and policies get changed when the people stand together. They don't want us standing together. They want to dictate to us, go wear your mask, go back inside. You're not going to work, even though I'm going to work and get paid tons of money sitting on my butt. You're not going to work and you can't pay your bills. And you can't feed your family because we told you to stay in your house. And when we feel like it, maybe we'll give you a stimulus, but we're going to tax the crap out of you, you know, later on, because no amount of money is free. When the government gives you something, we're going to get it back somehow. And they're not talking about the high gas prices. They're not talking about none of the other stuff that we're paying out of pocket for. And we're paying them to destroy our lives. They're dividing us, and it's so crazy. And that's what they're doing. They're not stupid. They're very smart, and they know exactly what they're doing because they can control fewer people in, or excuse me, they can control more people in smaller groups than to try to control a large mass.
Yeah, and you know, I try to be careful when I say, you know, the government this and the government that, because the interesting part about it is, yes, the government's being used as a tool for tyranny, and that's always the case, by the way, which is why America's founders and framers of the Constitution did not want a large, overbearing government. They wanted to maintain most of the power at the local level and with the people for a reason. You know what happens, absolute power corrupts absolutely. History has shown it over and over. But so it's not really government itself. It's the people who have taken over our system and are now using that system against us. And, you know, the divide and conquer thing works. But the good news is that there is something that unifies Americans. And a lot of Americans may not realize it. I'm not saying most Americans, but a lot, too many, don't realize this anymore. But I think we can win people back because it's a very compelling case to be made. Freedom. That all of us appreciate, and even those in the LGBTQ plus, LGBTQIA plus, ABCDFG, that community, who are all holding the same opinion because they think that that's what you're supposed to believe if you're part of that quote unquote community.
Yeah.
Even though really there should be, 150 plus different opinions if you have 150 plus different genders that you're allowed to have, according to them. Should also have that many opinions or more. Like, nobody should agree. There should be constant battles about ideas because you're human beings. You're not gay. You're human beings who happen to be gay. But they kind of own this identity, and they make it the sort of core of who they are every day. Instead of you're a human who happens to be gay, it's I'm gay. And then that represents everything they do. And so freedom is the reason anybody can be who they are and what they are and who they want to be.
Yes.
Freedom is the reason that everyone on this app on Wisdom gets to talk about become your best, reach your full potential. Notice the word you in all those phrases. It's always me, I, you, we. We can become our best. You can become your best. Reach your full potential, maximum potential. Be who you want to be. You can't do that without freedom.
Exactly.
But without freedom, you can't do that. So that is what binds all of us together. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, they got to get over this. Freedom also means you have to respect other people's ability and right to be who they want to be. So
exactly.
If you are a hardcore liberal or a hardcore woke, person, you have all these ideas, fine. But when you bump into so-called conservative or someone who's an independent or whatever, and their opinion differs than yours, your blood shouldn't start to boil the second they say something that you don't like or that rubs you the wrong way. Instead, you should be like, this is what freedom's all about. This is what true diversity is all about. I appreciate and honor that other people have different opinions. I want to engage other people. I want to learn from other people. I want to challenge my own ideas. But they have the wrong idea about what it really means to be diverse and what it really means to be free, to be who you are. And my hope is that we don't think progress just means moving in the same direction we're currently in.
Yeah.
We see progress as holding the right values and principles that make sense from the past and also finding ways to improve things moving forward. We're not moving forward just to move forward. And so we can unify around freedom.
Absolutely. And it's just, it's also, that's actually how the government was supposed to work. When the founding fathers founded this country, they didn't have just one party. They had, I believe it was the Federationalist or Federalist and the Whigs. There were two parties, and the whole purpose of that was supposed to be like a yin-yang balance. It wasn't supposed to be one perspective. There were supposed to be two perspectives that were supposed to come together and work together. Yet, it's transitioned through time that the government would rather punish us and make us suffer. Rather, like, the first stimulus came out pretty quickly, but the second stimulus and all this other stuff that started happening, they're like, nope, we're gonna lock everyone down. We know the American people need money, but we're not gonna give it out until we get what we want in this deal. Like, are you seriously playing chess with our future, with our happiness, with our ability to feed our families? We're like a third world country right now. We have the most expensive fuel out there right now. We had a baby formula shortage. That should never have happened in America. We have more food. We could have enough food in America to feed the whole world three times over, easy. We waste so much food. We have so much food, but we've regressed so much because of all this woke culture. We're so at war with each other, segregating ourselves into small factions that we're so busy looking at the speck in someone else's eye that we can't see the plank, that big just boulder of a plank sticking out of the government. We're being hit in the top of our heads with a stick, but we're sitting there, and rather than looking at who's doing it, we're looking at the other people around and finding fault with them. The government, these people out there are just destroying so much of our lifestyles. They could easily come together and say, you know what, let's stop all this bickering. Let's find a way to lower fuel. We can do that. Let's find a way to lower the cost of everything, all the inflation out there that's happening in society. Let's find a way to lower all that. Let's get people happy again. Let's get people stable. Let's get our jobs right. But rather than actually do that, they would rather focus on getting what they want and getting their radical agendas pressed. And we're fighting so much against each other that we're not paying attention to what they're doing. It's like any skilled magician, what they would do when they do a magic trick is they'll attract your attention to one hand or one area of the stage or somewhere else where the actual trick is not happening. You will not see the sleight of hand unless your eye is trained, because they're going to attract your attention to one spot while they actually do the sleight of hand in the place you're not looking, your blind spot. And you know, they often have this really beautiful assistant that comes on to kind of distract you and make you look at her and go, wow, she's beautiful. And then they're pulling the trick right there, and then you don't see how it was done. But if you're a seasoned magician, or you know how to watch a magician, they're not gonna get the sleight of hand on you. They're unless they're extremely good, which some politicians are extraordinarily good, especially that little trick where they don't give you an answer. You ask them a question, they don't give you an answer. And then, like the mayor of New York for a while back, they're asking about gun control and saying, so do you believe that that your New York citizens have the right to defend themselves? You're like, I believe everyone has no one should have the right to defend themselves, or something like that. And he goes, should anyone have a gun? No one should have a gun. Well, aren't you protected by armed security? And he kept giving these non-answers. He would not directly answer the question. So like a lot of these people out there pushing no guns are protected by people who have guns, and not just normal guns. They have like semi-automatic weapons. Welcome back.
And Ross, and everything you're saying is true, of course. And the thing that people, I try my best to, after identifying a problem, try for the audience, especially those who are like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but now what? I kind of provide some solutions and ideas too, because these things are all true. Now what do you do, right? Because then people get very, not only complacent, but they if they don't have a plan, if you don't give them an easy way to do something, they just fall off. So like, they'll listen to our chat, listen to Ross, listen to Bobby, listen to some of the previous speakers. And if they don't have something to do after they end this chat, they go right back to their life, you know, and then they go watch TV shows that represent the government and certain intelligence agencies and law enforcement and political movements and social movements, presenting them in a way where people look and go, ah, see, they're not that bad, because look, this show is presenting them this way. But of course, the TV shows and the movies are all, you know, pretty much propaganda. So
exactly,
people lose it quick. So people out there, please, first of all, I did a chat, I think it was yesterday, did a talk on here, if you want to go back and check it out at some point, talking exactly about this freedom of thought, how to maintain an open-mindedness and a curiosity about other people's opinions, so that you don't stay stagnant in your thinking, so that you keep growing, keep challenging your ideas, keep moving ahead. Because the truth is, nobody holds the same opinion forever, and the way that we change is by challenging them. It doesn't mean you should be wishy-washy and flying all over the place, because then you have no foundational principles or values, but you should be challenging them all the time, like, you know, very similar to the scientific method, because you want to make sure that what you believe is actually even true, or hold any kind of weight or water when it's challenged. This is something over the past 2 to 3 years, during the, you know, massive crisis we all faced on multiple fronts, from the virus to all the other political things that came from it, we were given one opinion. We were given one idea. We were given one approach and one solution, and we were told that this is the only one. But of course, it was the only one because all the other ones were silenced, censored, deleted, destroyed, attacked. You know, if your opinion only stands when it's not challenged, or the idea you're holding on to only sounds right when you're talking about it in a bubble, but the second someone else has a different opinion, it starts to fall apart, so you get, you know, anxious, nervous, and annoyed, then your opinion, probably there are some flaws in there, and why would you want to hold on to that? So my recommendation to everybody, stay curious about ideas, assume you might be wrong, challenge your own ideas, and if your idea still stands after that challenge, great, you know, you can hold on to it even tighter and stronger next time you have to present it. But if it falls apart, or you find gaps or holes or cracks, be open-minded about figuring out what's wrong with your thought process. Chances are, you have more in common with other people that you think you disagree with than you believe.
Yeah.
You probably agree with them more than you expect. And once you find that, and you find that connection and that sort of common thread that ties all of us together, but especially as Americans, if you happen to be here in America, you will find that we're all more united than we think.
Absolutely. For me being a Christian, I've like to add to your point. I love real Muslims, and what I mean by real Muslims is the people that actually do follow Islam to the best of their ability. These individuals are exceptional people. I love interacting with them. I love talking with them. We have so much in common, and it's really interesting because the Christian umbrella, anyone who all the different religions and sects that identify as Christian, there's so much like division amongst that umbrella. There's very little unity in the totality of Christians in the world, and the reason why is because the amount of differences are the focal points of these different churches, these different organizations, rather than what we have in common. Me, I don't care the differences of a person's church. I like to focus on what we have in common. For those who are Christians, they believe in Jesus Christ. And I'm like, oh yeah, so do I. Let's talk about that. Jesus is awesome and blah, 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 blah. We talk about that. We rejoice. We pray together. We have a good relationship. But then they often want to start focusing on almost immediately on the differences between my church and their church. And that pulls us away. You know, I talk with Muslims who believe what they believe. I don't try to change them. You know, like I said, I'm not God. I don't have the right to change somebody or condemn how they believe. I don't have that right, especially when it comes down to, you know, how they worship. So if more of us would focus on what we have in common rather than our differences, we would have a lot more civil discourse. We'd have a lot more beautiful conversations, and just life would be so much more pleasurable. And to add on what Bobby was saying, I really encourage everyone listening right now that when you're talking with somebody, be open to their opinion. You don't have to agree with someone's opinion. But if it turns into a debate, if it turns into an argument, I encourage you just cut it off. It's not going to go anywhere. There's no use arguing with someone because you're wasting your time and your energy. Now, if you want to have a discussion, which is a civil, respectable exchange of ideas, that's great. You're listening to their opinion. They're listening to yours. You're both being heard. Neither of you are interrupting each other. And if a person keeps interrupting you, still maintain, do not interrupt them. And then when they interrupt you again, say, hold on 1 second, I never interrupted you. And if they go, whoa, whoa, like, no, I never interrupted you. And if they won't respect that kind of gentle warning in the conversation, don't waste your time with someone who doesn't value your time or your opinion. And what I mean by valuing the opinion of someone else is it doesn't mean you have to agree with it. It means that you have to realize that this is the opinion of this individual. And if you get offended or mad so quickly about like someone's asking you questions and you can't answer all those questions, don't get mad, because that's like, people often get mad because they have not researched enough in the subject they believe. And often people find that they believe something because they were told to believe it, but they never did their own research into solidifying that belief on the why. So just like Bobby was saying, go and do your own research. Actually bring your own research to the table. Before you actually accept something as your own belief, do your own research so you know why you believe it. Because it really sucks to have a belief system in effect, especially about church, and all of a sudden you hear one thing that happened, you know, from someone else. You hear a historical story about your church, and then it totally just destroys your faith, because you're like, oh man, there's no way my church can be a good church if it has that in its past. Like, maybe that resource was not a reliable resource. Maybe it came from somebody who left that church and was butthurt because the church didn't want to change for them. So always check your resources. Make sure that any resource you receive or study is a reliable resource. And make sure that when you hear someone say something that is new to you, you know, research it yourself. In the last episode that I had on wisdom, I was talking about J.R.R. Tolkien. And I was out of my element for a number of things. Some of the guests that came on were talking about stuff I had no expertise on. So I could not debate with them, or I could not counter any of their claims or their arguments, because I had no expertise. And I admitted that. There's certain times that you're going to talk with somebody or have a conversation, and someone might say something that might be an interesting quote unquote fact that they claim to be a fact. And you have no knowledge of the counter. Like, you're not able to counter that argument because you have no knowledge about it. That's okay. Say, you know what? I want to look into that. That's an interesting statement. I want to look into that. You're not calling them a liar. You're not saying that they're true, but say, that's an interesting claim. I'm going to look into that and go research it. And because maybe that person sincerely believes that, but if it's false, that gives you another opportunity to have a conversation with that person and give them correct information. Me, as I always say, I don't know everything. I'd love to learn. I love learning the different perspectives of different people. And I love when people talk to me and tell me their opinions. That's one of the reasons why I love having conversations with my friend who happens to be gay. I don't see him as my gay friend. I see him as my friend who just happens to be gay. And it doesn't bother me, because the fact that a person is gay does not define who they are. And too many people are pushing this. Oh, I'm gay. They hide behind that title, and that has nothing to do. That's who you love. Being gay does not automatically identify your morals, your core beliefs. Like, it doesn't, because you're gay people are not a monolith. They don't have the same mentality. Just like Bobby was saying, there's so many different types of people in that community. They have different thoughts and different ways of believing. So it's okay to have your own thought process. It's okay to bring your own thoughts to the table. But I really wish we can go back to the time where people can actually express your beliefs without being afraid of being censored overly. Don't overly censor. Don't look for stuff that is wrong with a person's claim. sometimes people are not going to be as educated as you are or as you think you are. Sometimes, like, I've been humbled a number of times where I thought I was super smart and I was using the wrong words. I was trying to use big words to impress people with my education. I sound like an idiot because I was mispronouncing words, and like I was saying enunciating instead of enunciating. I was an idiot. I was a stupid smart person or a smart stupid person. So it's a funny little concept there. But I just really encourage everybody that's out there to always respect and allow the opinions and free exchange of other people. People should feel comfortable talking with you. And if you really want to change the world, unify, work to build bridges with people. Sometimes they're not going to have the same opinion as you. Sometimes they're going to be completely opposite to you. But it doesn't mean that you can't have a good, solid relationship with this individual. You might even save a life later on down the line. Like, if, like, my friend, the friend I was talking about who happens to be gay, if he were to want to be suicidal, I would be one of the first people he calls. Now, if I were to be that quote-unquote Christian that has nothing to do with anyone who's gay, I'd miss a golden opportunity to save a life. But if I do my absolute best to truly follow Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ didn't sit there and condemn anybody for how they live. He didn't even condemn the woman that was caught in adultery. She was just caught. Like, they ripped her off the guys. Like, yep, she was. I just saw her doing it. Who knows how long those guys were watching her, too. Like, look at what she's doing. Oh, she's so despicable. Look at her. Do you see her? Look at her. Oh, my gosh. Courtney? Let's get her. You know, like the fact that those guys just knew what she was doing. Like, I don't know. Like, were they watching her for a long time? Were they spying on her? Did they kind of creep in and look through the hole of the door before they rushed in and got her? Or, I don't know, but she was caught in the very act, which means they pulled her out of the room with the guy still in there. Like, that happened. But anyway, if Jesus wasn't condemning people while he was on the earth, I have no right to condemn anyone. I'd rather love people, serve people, help people, be with people. As they always say, I would stand up for the rights of a devil worshiper just like I would for a Christian. Why? Because the same rights that protect them protect me. As long as those rights don't infringe upon my rights or the rights about another person, that's where I draw the line. You have the right to be who you are. You have the right to love who you love. But the fact is, if we continue to divide, if we focus on dividing and stuff like that, we're never going to unite. If you focus on the differences that we have amongst with other people, we're never going to unite. So let's look at what we have in common. Let's build bridges rather than destroy them. Republicans and Democrats can have great relationships. I have many really good relationships with people who have different political views than I do, because I understand what freedom really is. As a veteran, I've both seen and interacted with people who died for that freedom. I know the price of freedom. Freedom doesn't mean that you have to say what I want you to say. It means I have to respect that you have the right to an opinion just like I do. So, in closing, if we really want to stop this nonsense of division, it's important to embrace what we have in common. You don't have to, like, compromise your morals to accommodate anybody else. You should never compromise what you believe to accommodate somebody else. That's not okay. Like, let's say you're in a monogamous relationship with your spouse, but your spouse wants to have sex with other people. You already agreed and also came into this marriage with the understanding that you are only going to be just you and your spouse, but your spouse is going out on you and, you know, they're cheating on you. You do not have to sit there and say, well, I love my spouse so much, I'm going to let them go out and cheat on me. No, that's not fair to you. They're not showing you respect. Don't compromise your morals to accommodate other people. That's not fair to you. And me, when it comes down to using pronouns and stuff like that, these preferred pronouns, I will try, like, honestly, I would probably try to see if there's a way that I will not compromise my intellect, because I'm not going to be stupid and call somebody something they're not. Like, but if somebody, if I will ask a person, like, hey, is it possible that I can just call you by your name and just refer to you by your name? Because I have my own personal views on that. I don't want to disrespect you, but I also don't want to be disrespected by, you know, calling someone something with which I don't agree. If it's possible, we can have a conversation out with me just calling you by your name. That's fine. You know, even a nickname, like that's how, like I'll accept that as well. And if they're willing to do that, then yeah, I'll show them that respect and we'll have a good conversation. But for me to call somebody non-binary, oh, I saw this video from a guy who studied IT and just like, he was a very well-studied IT expert. And he's like, you know, I wish somebody would explain to me what non-binary is. Because in all my years of working with computers, binary has everything to do with numbers. It's counting. It's a way to count. So when you're saying you're non-binary, what the heck does that mean? The word binary is number related. So are you saying you're not number related? Non-binary, you're not number related? I was like, oh, wow, that's a very interesting concept. Because once again, you know, people are taking actual words and then bending them to fit something that has nothing to do with it. Like homophobia. I keep hearing people, you're homophobic, as though that's a prejudice. The word homophobia means a fear of homosexuality. It has nothing to do with prejudice. It has everything to do with the word being afraid of something. People that are arachnophobic are scared of spiders. They may not hate spiders, they're afraid of them. They don't want to be around them. It has nothing to do with prejudice. It's just like, hey, I'm afraid. But the fact is that if you don't like homosexuality, that's different from homophobia, in my opinion, of the actual definition of the word. Maybe they should create a new word that identifies someone who's anti-homosexual. But the fact is that people are creating and modifying the way we speak. They're changing all these different titles so that they can feel like they're making a difference without actually making a difference. We used to call Native Americans Indians, and then there's people like, don't call us Indians, call us Native Americans. And we're like, okay, we call you Native Americans. And after you call people Native Americans, and they're like, oh, don't call us Native Americans, call us Natives. I'm like, okay, well, you're Native. Like, people keep changing. Like, for me, as a Black man, I hate to be called African American. I'm not from Africa. I'm not born in Africa. My ancestors come from Africa. But even like people from Uganda call themselves Ugandans. People from Somalia call themselves Somalians. They don't call themselves Africans. They call themselves Somalians. Africa's a continent. And I don't think there's anyone that calls themselves African. They call themselves the country from which they're from. But yet we're calling ourselves African Americans. That's in my opinion, my personal opinion, I don't think it's very wise, because we were not born in Africa. Unless you were born in Africa, or you have African citizenship, or your mom and dad were born in Africa or have African citizenship, then yeah, you're African American. But me, I'm an American. I was born in America. I come from a long line of people from America, yes. And there were African slaves that were born in America as well. If you're born in a country, that's your national country of origin. That's your nationality, unless you have were granted citizenship there. So I hate to be called African American, because it makes me feel personally like I'm less of an American. I went to war for this country. No one's going to tell me I'm less of an American. I'm not a subsect of American. I am fully American. I was born here. I fought for this country. I love this country. I hate what they're doing to this country, because I take it personal since I fought for it. But I fully respect the right of a person to have their opinions, even if it's antagonistic of mine. I welcome people's opinions. I love to have people on the show. I welcome people on the show who are willing to have discourses. Even if you have a disagreement with me, I would love to hear about your disagreement so we can actually talk. Maybe I'm missing something and I'd love to learn something new. Maybe I know something that you don't. Maybe you know something I don't. It's about sharpening each other. The whole focus of my show is to sharpen each other. Iron sharpens iron. I want us all to grow. And I can't grow, you know, by myself. I want the help. I want to grow from people who know things I don't. I don't want to hear, I can say I don't want to hear stupid nonsense of brainwashed propaganda. I don't want to hear that. There's no place for that on this show. But what I do want to hear is well thought out arguments about the different opinions of different concepts and stuff like that. And you know, an exchange of ideas. That's what this whole thing is all about. That's why I started doing this show, because I care about helping people. And that's what I really want to do with my life. I want to help people. I want to make a difference in the lives of people. And I want to be a blessing to other people. So if anybody else has anything they like to share, contribute, I definitely open up the floor to you and I welcome you out. I definitely would love to hear what you have to say. And I'm pretty sure other people would also enjoy that, because there's some pretty smart people on this app. There really are. And I'm really grateful to be part of the Wisdom app. And I'm really grateful just to be able to participate with some very brilliant, very sane-minded individuals. It's a nice change from society as we know it right now. Welcome back, Bobby.
Hey, thanks, man. And thanks for all the other amazing listeners who decided not to come up stage so I can come up four times. I didn't plan on jumping back up. I was just kind of going to listen in. But I see the topic there, and I hear everything you're saying about trying to help people. And I'm like, you know what? Let me put one final little nail into this topic's coffin here. And I think it's really important, because it's a missing piece in a lot of people's thinking. And I think why people get stuck on this kind of linear, quote unquote, progress path in their mind. So progress, we've been convinced, is just moving things in the same direction they're in and continually building on that until we end up at the logical conclusion. So technology ought to just continue to keep, you know, intruding in our lives. Privacy should continue to go away so that for the better good, all this data can be collected and we could all be connected in other ways. You know, the metaverse is the natural evolution of social media and other forms of communication. So, you know, taking video games to the next level, and we're all stuck in that world. And of course, everything you do in that world is recorded, surveilled, saved in the digital realm and the digital space. So it's the ultimate surveillance tool and the ultimate, you know, privacy killer. And it also takes you away from the world that we are all increasingly taken away from. You know, this real world needs our attention, but we're all stuck, you know, doing all this other nonsense, like watching Netflix and scrolling through social media endlessly and mindlessly, and then 45 minutes later wondering, what the hell did I just do with my time? The world needs us, and yet we're talking about more and more technology to take us away from that real world. Well, I promise all of you out there that as we're all distracted in these virtual spaces and these social spaces, the people who are slowly but surely taking away all your autonomy over your mind, body, and spirit, they're not taking their eye off the prize, which is the real world. They're buying up land, they're buying up companies, they're buying up institutions, they're buying up governments, they're buying up your life. Before you know it, you're gonna blink and go, that's really great that I created this virtual house on a virtual plot of land in this virtual space. It's really great that I filled my home with all these devices with cameras and microphones on them and emitting all these different frequencies that may or may not be damaging or hurting my health and my body. That's great, I did all that. Now I have all this virtual stuff and technology, but I own nothing. I have nothing. When they tell me to put something in my body, I have to do it. When they tell me I have to have a certain opinion, I have to have it. And why is that happening? Because we are taking our attention off of the real world. We are not locking arm in arm as unique individuals who have different opinions and different beliefs and different ideas on what will make the world better. And rather than discussing with each other and unifying, we're constantly shouting at each other, blaming each other for our problems that are actually caused by the people up there. And in the process, we're losing sight on the fact that we're losing ourselves. And the solution then is to remember that not everything has to move forward. Just because technology's there doesn't mean that every single quote-unquote advancement in technology is necessary or that we even want it. You know, can we ever stop as citizens and say, now hold on a second, my phone is damn near fast enough to do everything I need to do. Do I really need a phone emitting this very powerful frequency out and everybody else's phone doing the same thing when we have no long-term studies on, let's say, 5G or anything else? We just constantly adopt the new things that they wave in our face and say, you need this, you need this, you need this. And we just consume, consume, consume. We never stop and just breathe and say, now hold on, is this good for us?
Yeah.
Is it good that I spend less time with my kid while they're sitting there going, mommy, play with me, but I gotta check Facebook to see if somebody liked my last post? You know, you're missing out on the moments that matter, which is real life. And they don't care about you. When I say they, the people who are feeding you all this nonsense, they don't care about you. You have to care about you. You are ultimately responsible for yourself and how the world moves. Each of us can change ourselves and we can change the world in the process. And I hope that we come together under this flag of freedom and respecting each other and fix the world.
Wow, well said. It brings up an interesting point that the very, like the super wealthy in the world, they are acting completely different than we are. Like the normal working person, we're more focused with social media and all this other stuff like that. I'm pretty sure these like uber wealthy people have hired individuals who handle the social media accounts. I'm pretty sure most of them, if not all of them, they don't do their own social media. I'm pretty sure they have most of them, if not all of them, have somebody who handles the social media accounts and just kind of points out things to them and lets them know, hey, this is what's going on. These people are saying this. They really want to see this, blah, 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 blah. And every once in a while, they'll get on social media live and show their presence to make it look more authentic. But they don't have time to sit there and spend all that time on social media. But they do spend a lot of time working. But, you know, it is important, though, to think about, you know, that point that you're saying, like we're spending more time focused on social media rather than actually being with our kids and playing with their kids. Well, if we do have kids and we're doing that, just know that at some point in time, you're going to be old. You're going to be on your deathbed. Your kids are going to remember how much time you spent with them, how you treated them. If you were a good parent, you loved your parent, you loved your kids, you stay there with your kids, it's very likely that your kids are going to let you move into the house with them and stay there with them while you're older so that you can get the health and care and be with family rather than stick you in a home. If you're a bad parent, it's likely you're going to be stuck in a home. If you're a bad parent, it's likely that when you're on your deathbed, they're not going to make time for you. They're going to be focused on doing their stuff. So just know that we reap what we sow. And if we spend more time putting priority on everything else rather than the highest priorities, then the highest priorities are going to put their priority list on other things as well. Does anybody else have anything to add before we conclude? As always, I definitely enjoy the interactions of every one of the listeners. I really appreciate you all, and you always have great things to say. And the name of this app is just, it's awesome. I love that it's called Wisdom, because so far in all the shows that I've done on the Wisdom app, I've only had two people that came on and just said some really stupid stuff. One person was my last episode, and they just totally started cussing at me and yelling at me because I think they heard one or two words and then automatically chimed in and started saying something rather than actually listen to the entire context of what I was saying. That is, you know, that's a flaw in my opinion, a very big character flaw, that context is everything. Context means everything. If you don't have context, it's really important not to jump to a conclusion without context. You might think you know what's going on, but you don't if you don't have the context behind the statement. And your interactions will be far different. If you hear a keyword that triggers you and you react and go, oh my gosh, blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, we weren't even talking about that. What do you mean? And it just highlights the fact that you were not listening. And it makes you look like the idiot. Another person was talking about some really way out ideas, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, dude. Not everything has to do with this subject, and you just keep bringing this subject back up, and it's not relevant to the conversation. And I want to have, like, but I can say the overwhelming majority of participants I've had on the show have been very well-spoken, very thought-out individuals with very good feedback, and I really love that. You know, I'm not sitting here and grammar checking anybody, because, you know, everyone makes mistakes and everybody has different levels of education. So to sit there and correct somebody's grammar is stupid. You know, it shouldn't be like that. I want people to be free. I want them to be who they are. You know, this show right here is not about censoring anybody. It's about welcoming the ideas of other people so that we can have a dialogue, so that we can all grow and all improve. And that's ultimately what I want to do. So I encourage everybody out there, if you're interested, I have many other episodes. This is my 46th episode of my podcast. So please feel free to go out there and look on either Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other, even Amazon or Google Podcasts, anywhere podcasts are available. You can see my podcast. It's called Real Talk with RJ, and it's available anywhere podcasts are sold or heard. You'll see the very same icon that you see on the Wisdom app. It looks just like that. And I really got to change that picture. That's a bad picture of me. But yeah, that's it. Definitely check it out. There's some great shows on there. Like the first episode is The Desire to Change. The second episode is The Courage to Change. And like those are some of the most popular episodes too. People really love those two episodes. I got a lot of good feedback from those. Feel free to go out there, check those episodes out. Leave some feedback, follow, share this episode with anybody that you know. Check out my other podcast episodes and share those as well. Don't forget to subscribe. If you're going on Spotify or any other platform, subscribe, follow me so that you know whenever I release a brand new episode. And hopefully on the next one, I'll have you guys participate again or have anyone else who wants to participate. I'm always open to you. I love every one of you guys and I appreciate every one of you because you are the best part of living. You, everyone on this app I see really wants to make society as a whole strong, better, more peaceful. And that's what I'm after. I want peace. I want unity. We don't have to unite on the same ideas. We just have to unite as a people so that we can hold accountable the people that are ruining our lives. Have a great day, evening, or whenever somebody else will listen to this episode. I really appreciate all of you and I hope you have a great evening. And also, don't forget to go check out my book, Soul Guardian by RJ Kurtz. It's a vampire book available on Amazon. It's available on Walmart.com, Target.com, and Barnes & Noble. It's a very unique angle, and so far, everybody that's read it really loves it. They said they couldn't put it down, so I'm working currently on the audiobook. It's just a long process, and I look forward to the finished product. So thank you for listening. This is RJ Kurtz signing off with Real Talk with RJ.